House and online, if you know this is how you fight your battles, whether you came in with fear, anxiety, depression, whatever it may be, hopelessness, we can lift up that name of Jesus, which is above every name, and we can fight a battle, and we can find peace, we can find hope, we can find joy. Come on, on the count of three, all over this house and online, I want you to lift up that name above every name, the name of Jesus. 1, 2, 3. You know what you just did? You pushed back against spiritual darkness. You pushed back against depression. You pushed back against fear. Because we can fight that battle by calling His name. And how many know He's as close as the mention of His name? I'm so glad you made the right choice joining us together for worship today. Joining us online. There's no better place to be than to be in the house of God with people of like precious faith, lifting up the name of Jesus. If it's your first time here in person, we would love to get to connect with you, see how we can join you in that fight, join you lifting up one another in prayer. There's a connection card one of the ushers should have gave you as you came in. If not, you can get one at the welcome kiosk. If you just fill that out, turn that in, we'd love to get to connect with you. If you're watching online, there's a bit.ly link. We can fight this battle together, and we know through Jesus, we will overcome. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. A few announcements. We have the privilege and the opportunity to give. Whether you want to give out at the welcome kiosk in the offering box, whether you want to give through the app, which is a wonderful way to do it as well, whether you want to text to give or mail it in, understand God blesses a cheerful giver. And I'm so glad I have the opportunity to give in my finances, but also to give in my worship and my praise this morning. This Sunday marks the start of our new life classes, a new cycle of new life classes. If you've recently been baptized or filled with the Holy Ghost, we'd love for you to get connected with that so you can learn more about God's walk and His journey that He has. Ben and Stephanie Thompson, can you wave your hands? Right over here, Ben and Stephanie Thompson, if you're in the house, if you want to get involved with new life classes, go see one of them after service. They'd love to get you connected. If you've already completed 101, we'd love to get you into 202 or 201 and 301. Sorry, I'm gonna go 202 and 303, but you know, 201 and 301. But we'd love to get you connected, to be a part. We serve an awesome God. And what you feel and what you experience in this house, God wants us all to go deeper each and every day in our prayer time, in our devotion time. We serve an awesome and a wonderful God. Well, I don't know about you, but I came into the house exciting. It's hard to believe we're in February already, folks. Seems like we just had New Year's and now we're already... One twelfth of our year has already passed. I hope you did something productive and exciting. If not, guess what? We got 11 more months to teach a Bible study, to reach the lost, to lift up the name of Jesus, to fight our battles. If you'd stand with me, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer for an awesome service. Amen. And as we go into this next part of worship, I want to challenge you. The Bible says, taste and see, try me and see that he is good. Cast your bread upon the waters and see if it returned void. As we go into worship, it's not just an empty time to be entertained, but it's a powerful time to worship, to enter into the presence of God, where he can meet our needs, where he can meet whatever we're going through. Like I said, whether it be fear, depression, anxiety, hopelessness, whatever it may be, God has the answer. So I want to encourage you, challenge you, push you a little bit if I can. As we go into worship, after I get done praying, step out of the aisle. If you're comfortable coming down to the front, come down to the front. If you're not comfortable, I understand. Just take a step. Step over in your pew. Take that step of faith and say, God, I'm here, whether you be in the building or at home. God, I am here right now, and I have need of a miracle. I have need of a touch. And I'll tell you, if you'll take that step of faith, whether it be moving over in your living room or taking a step forward in your living room or moving out in the aisle, God will meet you where you're at. And we are going to see an awesome move of God's presence, not for our glory, but for his, because he is here in the house to move today. Dear Heavenly Father, have your way. God, thank you that we don't fight this battle alone, but we can fight it together with you as laborers together in this harvest. Have your way in this service. God, be with every person here in the building and all those watching online around the world. Have your way, God. Meet them where they're at. Thank you, God, that we can come to you openly. And God, you'll not despise us, but you'll meet us there, God. While we were yet sinners, you died for us that we could have life, that we could have hope, that we could have truth. And Father, we are going to dance for you as we break through in victory and life in this service today. Have your way in the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Let's worship together. Shouting generation.
of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised. Celebrate the presence of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised. Celebrate the presence of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised. Celebrate the presence of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised. Rejoice.
Jesus, we serve a God. I'm so thankful today. I'm so thankful today we serve a God of healing. We serve a God that is in the repair business. Whatever it is, whatever you came here today looking for. You need that breakthrough? Yes. You need that healing? Yes. You need that marriage issues, family issues, financial issues, whatever we're struggling with. I'm so thankful. It is so great also today. Brother Seidel did a wonderful job this morning in our Bible study. Thank you, Brother Seidel. We had a great prayer meeting here on Friday evening. And God just came down. Thank you, Sister Linda, for leading us through prayer and corporate prayer together. I want to challenge you as we get into this year, further into this year, to keep up that prayer and keep up your Bible reading and studying God's Word for Life with your families, and share it with one another online, and just make those connections. We've had a connection here at Calvary Gospel Church for a number of years with the Chris Jansen family, and it's just so great to have them here with us today. First time I ever saw Brother Chris Jansen was actually at a minister's conference. I thought, who is that crazy dude in the tennis shoes? I think every service I've ever been in, he's an aficionado of Nike tennis shoes. And just as some people, you know, some ladies collect purses and some guys wear cowboy boots and Tris Jansen's a sneaker dude. And we love that. He also pastors in Waupun and in Watertown. And doing a great job there. And he's our Sunday school rep for our district. And also something many of you may not know, but Brother Tris Jansen's also an accomplished brown belt in jiu-jitsu. And he has been working. We've taken a little bit of a break, but he's given my wife and I some lessons. Could you imagine, Sister Lois? She's got a little bit more of a punch than what I ever thought she had. And that's thanks to Brother Tris. But he's here to preach to us this morning. God bless you, Brother Tris. We love you. We appreciate you.
Praise the Lord, church family. I've been blessed with the ability of doing two things, choking people and praying for people. Amen. Amen. You use what you got, right? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It feels good in the house of God. Many of you I know. For those that I don't know, I want to welcome you to what I believe is the greatest moment, the greatest event that one can participate in, and that is entertaining the presence of God Almighty. Amen. So I want to welcome you here today. I love Bishop Grant, his family, Pastor and Sister Grant, this great team of ministers many of you have gotten to know. It's great to have my family here, my wife and two children. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. We're just gonna walk into this a little bit. So, Pastor mentioned the tennis shoe thing, and the first time that I preach somewhere, I like to just give background that it's really not a fashion statement. It was birthed out of necessity. When I was 25 years old, my wife and I started a church. And we still belong to our host or mother church. And so we would have church on Sunday morning, and then we would go to our work, and that would be in the afternoon, and we'd have to set up and tear down stuff. And then we'd go back to our mother church at night, and then we'd have Wednesday night church service, and then Bible study on Thursday night for the church I was trying to start. And then I was also the youth pastor, so Friday and Saturdays, I was wearing church dress shoes for the majority of my life. And what began to happen through the setting up and tearing down process is I was realizing that my feet would ache more and more and more and more. And it got to a point where I'm a big baby, that I would go home and just complain about my feet hurting. And so my wife said, well, pack some tennis shoes, and in between, you know, you can set up and tear down with the tennis shoes on, and that'll be fine. Well, one evening, as we were headed back to our mother church, I forgot to switch back into the dress shoes, and nobody said anything to me about the tennis shoes that I was wearing. So at that moment, I had an idea, one that would forever change my life. I have a closet full of vintage Michael Jordan shoes. This was prior to me having a family where I had expendable income. And so I thought to myself, I said, self, is there a way to navigate this in the Holy Ghost? And God spoke to me like I never heard spoken before. And he said, Brother Tris, I don't know if it was quite that way. But it occurred to me that I had these very nice shoes that were probably nicer than the junky shoes that I bought from the Kohl's. And so I decided to start wearing those, and the rest is history. My feet are happy. When you see me worshiping, I'm worshiping because I have a liberty to do so, and I won't be limited by what's on my feet. I'm going to let God do what only God can do, and I'm going to enjoy his presence, and I'm going to lift my hands in my voice. I'm not going to sit by while the presence of God is stirring somebody. I'm excited when I get into the house of God because I know where I come from. I know where I come from. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Now, if you're going to help me preach today, can I just do one of these things? Okay, good. Okay. I mean, I don't need you to, believe me. But I think it'll be more enjoyable for you if you're along with the program. You dig what I'm saying? It goes on to say, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, before the world began, before you were ever named, God has a purpose and a promise for you. He knew what we would need. He hears us. He listens. During seasons of doubt, frustration, and uncertainty, you, your home, and this church are in the palm of the Master's hand. We simply need to navigate the instructions that we find set forth in the Word of God. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, many of us know this. If my people, which are called by my name. Do I have any of those folks here that have gone down in the watery graves of baptism having that name that saves applied to their life, that name that brings all healing, that name that brings salvation, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways then. So there's the instruction, here's the promise. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. This is the promise, a promise that he hears us. Now, I know that there are those in the house right now that need a little assurance. Maybe some of you just need some reassurance. He is listening. He is listening. Now, please understand, I could confound you with all sorts of big words as to prove my point, but my wife says this. She goes, baby, you just work those finger paintings. Don't worry about trying to paint some Michelangelo for folks. Just make sure people understand what you're trying to say. I tried reading a portion of my dissertation to one of my churches once. It didn't go well. So we're just going to keep it simple because I believe that his word is powerful. I've been around a little while. I'm sure many of you have heard what I'm about to speak on in some form or fashion. But like a great song that is sung, a diversity of voices add depth to the message, and that brings about a new response. Today I'm going to preach the word with the hopes of bringing about that assurance that we are looking for. An assurance in the fact that we have audience with Jesus Christ. I've titled this message, Ask. Ask. I was trying to come up with something cheeky. It didn't work, so it's just going to be Ask. Anybody here ever asked something of the Lord? I remember where I came from. I asked the Lord just, you know, Lord, when I grow up, allow me to pay my rent. Lord, I would love that as I move on in life, if I could have a vehicle, that I don't have to pray that it start each time that I get into it. Lord, I would love not, I don't want to embarrass anybody. Remember old food stamps that they were paper? Lord, I'd sure love not to have to go to the store with my fake money. This is not a dig on anybody. These are just prayers that I prayed as a youngster that really didn't have a relationship with God, but I knew there was something more for me. Anybody here ever been afraid to ask? Maybe my ask is too big, or maybe it's too small, so I'm not sure if I want to get into that. Listen, there is no ask too big. There is no ask too small. He hears you. I feel God spoke to me very clearly yesterday. I had a whole different message planned. And as I go and, you know, try to make sure everything is buttoned up, I felt God speak to me and say, we're going to shift some things. And I feel like there are some folks in the house of God that are asking some questions, but they're not quite sure if they're going to believe in the results that come by that answer. So if you'll indulge me, I've read it written this way. There's an almighty God, all-knowing, all-powerful God in heaven, just waiting to hear from you. Just waiting to hear from you. The psalmist David says he has his hand cupped behind his ear, listening for his children, asking for great and mighty things. He's listening for us to pull down the strongholds of this world, of the sin that besets, of the hurt that cripples. I want to tell the church, when you walk through these doors and you lift your hands to pray, I want you to remember that you are speaking to the almighty, all-knowing, and all-powerful God, the Creator of heaven and earth, the one who holds seven seas in the palms of his hands. He weighs the mountains on a scale, the hills and the valleys. You can ask him for things so staggering, so big. God again presses his ear, asking for things that are impossible. Because with God, nothing is impossible. Ask God to defeat the giants in your life. I read that he's a giant killer. Ask him to divide the sea, to swallow up Pharaoh. Watch him make your enemies a stepping stone. Ask to send fire from heaven as he did for Elijah, and he will, asking him to walk with you in the fire of the fiery furnace and be the fourth man in the fire, and he will. He said he's going to walk through the fire. The fire isn't going to burn you. You'll walk through that water, and the water's not going to drown you. Please, church family, ask him. He's the God who cannot fail. He's waiting to show you great and mighty things. Please ask him. Pray. God in heaven wants you to have that power that you know that you're made in his image. God's not a statue. He thinks, he speaks, he feels our infirmities, he answers our prayers. He is alive and well. He's Jehovah Shammah, the God who is there. He's Jehovah Nisi, the Lord who is our banner. He's Jehovah Shalom, the God of our peace. Can we pray? Can we pray like we've never prayed before? God is saying, what do you need? Do you need healing in your body? Ask. Faith, believing, and I will give it. Do you need supernatural wisdom to make decision? A decision that might be tough to make all on your own. Ask it and he'll lead you on the paths of righteousness. Do you need peace? God, this world needs peace. We simply need to ask, because nothing is impossible to them that believe. Nothing will be held from them that diligently seek him. Do you need the impossible? Open your mouths. Speak it in faith and believe. You're not talking to just anybody. We cannot sustain breath without his mercy. You're speaking to the Creator. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He uses gold to build streets. He moves mountains, divides seas. He gives wells you didn't dig, vineyards you didn't plant,
houses you didn't build. He'll make you the head and not the tail, because there is nothing. Hear me, church, there is nothing. There is nothing impossible with God. Now, I understand there's some unbelief in the house of God, because we've been trying to navigate through this very, very weird situation over the last several years. But please understand, that didn't just start in the last several years. We have been walking our lives looking for answers, and that is why we are here this morning. We cannot be satisfied by one moment in time, but that moment can define the rest of how we walk from here on out. We've got to want more of Him. We've got a desire to be used in greater ways. He desires to use us to display the miraculous. This is a true story, but when I was a youngster, my sister and I would go to the grocery store to buy O. Henry candy bars. And I was so nervous about the whole situation that I would give her the money. She was my younger sister, and I'd make her go pay because I didn't want to speak to the checkout person. Can you believe that? I remember she would make all of our friends for us when we would go to a park or something like that, because she was all extroverted and whatnot. I didn't want to talk to people. It wasn't my thing. And then I met a young lady in high school who looked a little bit different from everybody else, and I thought, wow, I like that. I was a little nervous to talk to her, but I mustered the courage, and she ended up inviting me to church. I chased a girl into church. Jesus found me at that church. The girl took a liking to me, became my wife. God filled me with His Spirit. That's just a little bit of my story, but when I tell you it's miraculous, it's miraculous. All of the little intricate details that had to be woven together in order for that to happen. See, she came from Alaska, where I was from the inner city of Milwaukee. And so we come from very different places. Met on a high school campus in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, of all places. All of the little things that have to take place. But the reality is God is, He's watching and He's looking and He's waiting for you to open your mouth and ask, what is the next step? Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." I believe that we as the church are being loosed in very much the same way the early church was loosed. I hear this a lot from folks. Why don't we see what they saw in the Word of God? My response is usually, our faith is not like what it was in the early church. But there can be a shifting if we allow ourselves to enter into a place where God can move, because we've gotten ourselves out of the way enough. I'm going to act like I'm at home now, if that's all right. If we would but open our mouths and realize that what is taking place right now has been ordained by God, then our faith, that faith that we have that when we take an inhale, that it's going to sustain our lives, that faith will move in ways that we cannot even fathom. When I ministered in southern India, I remember we were surrounded by children, and they were trying to get us out of there. We had been in a particular location for like 4 hours ministering because so many people just came. They just wanted us to pray for them. They would bring vials that were empty, hoping that we could like pour our water into it because they thought there was something magical about it. And we would try to explain to them that there was nothing magical about us, but that we serve a great and mighty God that could change things. They dragged out this guy from a car, and they said, listen, if he is not healed here today, he will die. And so we gather around and we begin to pray for the man, and the man stands up and we're all freaking out like this is something that shouldn't happen. The most impactful part is as they're trying to get us out of the park because it was daybreak, and I'm sorry, it was evening time, and the sun was going down, and because of certain things, Christians are not supposed to be out after dark in this certain area, so they're trying to shuttle us out of there, and as they're shoving us into the vehicles and they're closing the doors, children are slamming their hands onto the windows. Stop, stop, stop. Roll down, roll down. And you can hear them because there's so many, and they're shouting at this one, and they're slapping the windows. And I remember saying to our driver, can we stay just a little bit longer? No, you can't stay any longer. If a certain group of people knows that you're here, they will come and they will kill you. I remember feeling such a heaviness because here they're asking God for something. They're desiring something, these children, these people. And their faith was moving them to a place that they're willing to hang on to a moving vehicle. It took me months to try to reconcile the imagery, but I remember God softening my heart and then speaking peace, saying, I can do for them. I can do for them. Just continue to be what I've asked you to be and speak the word that those around you, that when they speak and when they open their mouths, that they may affect somebody else around them. This is why we do what we do. I believe that we will see the type of miraculous works that the early church has seen because our faith will allow us to operate in that supernatural realm. It's time that we ask God to empower us like never before, to embolden us and anoint us. We simply have to ask for it. Here's our illustration, 2 Kings 2:9. I'm watching the clock. I see what's happening. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elisha said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Now, before we go any further, we have to understand what led Elisha to pray for that double portion of the spirit of Elisha. We see in 2 Kings 1 verse before, 2:8, and Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. Everybody say that's miraculous. Some water being parted is miraculous. Maybe. That was just one of the many miracles that Elisha had seen from Elijah. See, Elisha had an example that caused him to ask for more. He had an example. Look, these men and women that get up here week in and week out and try to help facilitate this church service and make it, you have an example before you. I don't just say this, but Pastor Roy is one of the greatest people I know. He's been a friend to me. He puts up with my shenanigans. I appreciate that. I'm kind of an acquired taste. So for him to like me, it's pretty cool. It's good to have an example. You got to understand, Elijah's life was full of the miraculous, from resurrecting the dead in 1 Kings chapter 17 to calling down fire from heaven in chapter 18. This was a man who was, whose faith changed situations. Things that were supposed to be impossible suddenly were made possible. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When we understand that Elijah was praying for a double portion of faith, he wasn't necessarily praying for the miraculous. The miracles were the result of the faith. I don't want to just ask God for the miraculous. I want to have a faith to be part of the miraculous, to take part of the miraculous, to not only hear about things that are great and greatly to be praised, but to be part of those things. I believe, for those that are faithful, that this is the season in which those promises that have been promised will begin to come to fruition. I'm not going to be ashamed of my faith. I want to be bold, and I want to ask. Pastor talked just a little bit about my whole jiu-jitsu thing. Nobody's good at jiu-jitsu when they first start. Everybody's terrible. It's just the thing. And I was working with a guy who was much bigger then, and he kept putting me into a position where he kept choking me over and over and over, and I was almost a little defeated and humiliated. And I remember my coach just looking there doing this thing, just shaking his head in almost disgust. And I finally said, like, hey, what should I do? And he's like, I thought you'd never ask. Now, in this particular position, in order not to be choked, all I had to do was sit up. That's it. All I had to do was posture up and get tall. All I had to do was not bury into an enemy, but I had to stand up, posture up, and allow that moment to pass by as to not be choked to death. I thought you'd never ask. Now, here was the cool thing. I didn't get it at first. I tried to. But I'm just going to be transparent. It wasn't until he walked behind me as I was working with this individual, getting ready to be choked yet again. He kicked me in the backside. And he said, will you please just sit up? You're embarrassing yourself and me. And so I shot up. And I looked my enemy in the eye, and my enemy knew at that moment that he had no more leverage. See, I asked Coach what I should do, and even though I didn't get it all right the first moment in which he gave me the instruction, there was a little bit of help along the way. Don't be afraid when God boots you in the backside a little bit. It really will be okay. You're tougher than what you think, church family. You're tougher than what you believe. God has so much more for us if we would simply ask. When you find yourself in that situation, you don't quite know what's going on. Even this right here is a little bit different for some of you. You're going, what did I get myself into? These folks are crazy. Just ask them about it. Just ask them about it. I promise you this, if you will open your mouth and ask, there will be an answer. But here's what I'm going to beg the church to do. Please, please receive that answer whether you like it or not. It might go against the grain of what you currently thought. It might be a little bit different than what you currently had in mind. But please know when God answers, it is what it ought to be. Teach me, Lord. Help me to not pray amiss, but help me to pray that your will be done. I know I'm done, so let's stand. I see the time. Woo, you're all lucky. As our musicians come, I hope that we're instilling some faith here today. Like I said, maybe this is the first time you've ever heard anything like this. But I'm speaking from an experience that says if you will simply ask God, and you don't have to speak in King James Version, you don't need the old, you know, King's English. Sometimes it's simply just, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing anymore. Could use a little help. Lord, I'm not a perfect man, but you're a perfect God. Lord, I know that there are needs around me, and while I can't necessarily fix this on my own, I know that you are able. James 2, 17 through 20, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Now please understand, that doesn't necessarily mean cartwheels down the aisle, but sometimes just stepping out of where you are. You know, that whole hand-raising thing, again, this might be different for some folks. This is just a representation that I'm no longer bound by chains, that God has given me a liberty to lift my hands and to worship. It's basically just a hand wave saying, over here, Lord, this guy needs you. I know you see everybody all at once, and I know they all have issues as well, but I'm going to just believe that if I ask that you will hear me. We've got to ask. Hear the word. Hear the word. Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is why we're here. You want a double portion? You want something greater for your life? Hear the word. Ask. I mean, we can make it more complicated, but it doesn't need to be. Just ask. Now, we have a representation. It's a platform, but this is a representation of an altar. An altar in an Old Testament was where they would bring a sacrifice. The Bible says that we are to be living sacrifices. And so when we come around an altar, what we're doing is we're again saying, Lord, I'm going to be a sacrifice. The Bible says a sacrifice is as a sweet savor into his nostrils, that he breathes us in. Now, isn't that something, that he breathed life into us? And when he breathes life into us and we begin to live for him, then he breathes up. You don't know how much God loves you, man. I wish somebody understood how much he desires to hear you. He desires to meet you. He desires to commune with you. If you would knock, if you would simply knock on his door. See, we know the scripture. He knocks on our door, but sometimes it's nice when we go and knock on his door. And simply ask. This is an altar where we can come and we can begin to petition the Lord. If you have a need in your body, if you have a need in your mind, if you have need of finances, or in your home, if you have need for him to fill you with his spirit, if you have need for something new, why don't you just begin to make your way to an altar? If you're not comfortable at an altar, I believe that right where you're at, you can begin to lift your voice. You can begin to lift your hands as just a sign of, Lord, I'm right here, and I'm not bound by my own flesh. I'm not bound by chains. I'm here to receive from you. I'm going to ask those things that I think are impossible. Please do not let unbelief stop you from experiencing this moment. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Even after Elisha died, He was buried. His bones were in a grave. But God was not done. A body of another man was thrown into that same grave, and it touched the bones of Elisha. The Bible says that man who was dead, after he touched the bones of Elisha, it says this, the man revived and stood up on his feet. I'm asking for the kind of faith that brings about a revival of men and women that cause us to stand. Come on, can we reach our hands? Lord Jesus, we need you. I don't want to live the way that I've been living. I don't want to continue to experience those things that have me warring with myself. I need more of you, Lord. God, set me free, deliver me, make me new. God, let me experience something in you that I've not felt. I've not felt in quite some time. I need more of you, Lord. Come on, be bold in your prayer. Be bold in your prayer. In the name of Jesus, I receive my healing. In the name of Jesus, I receive that deliverance. In the name of Jesus, you're going to repair that relationship. Stand boldly before the throne. Stand boldly as he bends his ear to you in Jesus' name. Come on, church family, that's it. Come on, that's it. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord.
Every heart.
you so very much, Brother Chris Jansen, for speaking to us this morning. Just ask. Just ask. Just ask. Oh, yeah. It's that simple. Wednesday evening, Sister Linda Brown will be starting a series. We'll be talking about prayer. And then we've been talking about connection. Brother Chris Jansen preached to us this morning about ask, about purpose. We heard of that with Brother Seidel this morning, about stepping into our purpose. God is leading us down a path, church. And prayer is important. So many times we look and say, well, another message on prayer, another message on fasting. Prayer is our communication. Prayer is how we connect with God. We talk to one another through connection, through conversation. Prayer is conversation with God. And we just want to be more effective in our connection with God. How many of you want to be more effective in your connection with God? I want to be more effective if our connection with God, if we perfect our connection with God, then we perfect our connection with one another and with those around us. All starts with prayer. All starts with prayer. Just ask. Just ask. God bless you. Thank you so very much for coming out today. Shake hands with a brother or sister. Make those connections. And we will be back here on Wednesday evening. God bless you.